The following is a special KMOX sports presentation.
Welcome to the Strike Zone, powered by Graybar, your source for electrical and data communications products for 150 years on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Welcome to the first edition of the Strike Zone, powered by Graybar on KMOX. I'm Chris Raby on your home for the Cardinals and the Blues. Of course, a lot of hockey coming up tonight as the Blues and Stars will play game one of their second round Stanley Cup playoff matchup. That begins at 8:30, pregame at 8, and we're going to have all hockey all the time beginning at 7 from Enterprise Center. But first, the Strike Zone as we talk Cardinals baseball for the next 45 minutes. Excited to bring you the show each and every week. Tonight, we'll visit with Kyle MacLellan and also Craig Edwards from Fangraphs.com. A day off today for the Cardinals before the Cincinnati Reds in town, and what a win for Adam Wainwright and company yesterday. It was win 150 for Wainwright, but he says the even more important factor...
Well, we took a couple years off in the postseason, and you know, it's time for us to get back in there and be a force down the stretch in October. Somebody asked me the other day, when are you coming home to Georgia? And I said, in November. That's where we're all thinking right now, is this is a team that if we go out there and we execute and we play like we can beat anybody on this green earth. So we just got to go out there and play well.
You got to love that, right? And another statement series by the Cardinals. I know it's early, but it's not early in the sense that you've played 10 games, half your games, more than half your games against Milwaukee already this year. You're 5-5 and coming off the big sweep here at home. So lots of baseball to get to. Kyle MacLellan next, and then Craig Edwards at 6:45 before we turn it over to hockey coverage. I'll be with you all night. Puck drop at 8:30 for the Blues and the Dallas Stars. But it's our first edition of the Strike Zone, powered by Graybar. Ben Boyd, our executive producer, Mike Anderson in the house as well. And we're back with Kyle after this on your home for the Cardinals and Blues, KMOX.
Now, back to the Strike Zone. Powered by Graybar, your source for electrical and data communications products for 150 years on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Welcome back to the Strike Zone, powered by Graybar. Chris Raby with you. We are hanging out until the top of the hour. Then it will be extended Blues pregame. The Munganast, St. Louis Honda, and Mitsubishi Sports Open line from Enterprise Center from 7 until 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock Blues pregame skate, 8:30 game one, Blues and Stars round two. So don't go anywhere. Lots to come. And a fun night coming your way as we roll along here on KMOX. Kyle MacLellan joins us on the Strike Zone. Day off for the Cardinals today. Reds in town for a three-game series beginning tomorrow. Kyle, Cardinals at the top of the National League. Pretty nice to polish off a sweep of the Brewers yesterday. That must be nice to finish a series like that and then have an off day to look forward to at home.
Yeah, absolutely. I was a little curious as to when Milwaukee came to St. Louis, how that was going to look. I just feel like they're a totally different team at home. They definitely have a home field advantage. And the games there are so weird at Miller Park. I mean, the ball is flying all over the place. So I felt like it was a better test here in St. Louis, and they lived up to that. Cardinals did a great job, came away with a huge sweep there against Milwaukee.
What impressed you most about the way the Cardinals went about it? It seemed like, we'll begin offensively, they were able to score runs in a variety of ways.
Yeah, their offense is clicking. I mean, it's what we envisioned this offseason, this spring training, when there was a lot of talk about it. But you got Dexter Fowler hitting like we thought he would hit when he came over here and signed. Ozuna's doing a great job. Colton Wong has really provided some stability. And then you got contributions like Goldschmidt and Carpenter like you expected. But Paul DeJong, I think, is just the MVP of this offense so far. He's hitting at a high level, hitting for power, doing all these different things. And he's hitting right in that three spot where he's like the big factor of keeping everything going, getting those other guys up to the plate, and you're getting contributions all top and bottom. So I think that's the most impressive, is that I feel like they're not – fully clicking just yet. They're like 90-95% there, but man, they are really close, and they're going to be a lot of fun once they get it all together.
Kyle MacLellan is with us on the Strike Zone, powered by Graybar. Yeah, DeJong right now, if you look at Fangraphs.com, and we're going to visit with Craig Edwards from Fangraphs coming up, but in terms of wins above replacement, I know it's early, but right now he's fourth in Major League Baseball behind Cody Bellinger, Christian Yelich, Mike Trout, and he's actually been able to cut down on his strikeouts, Kyle, Craig points out in his article he's done that with a more aggressive approach, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that really plagued him. In spring training we saw it, and last year we saw it, and at the beginning of the season, the whole team, my goodness, everybody was striking out. And it was like, man, you know, what are they going to do to get things back going? But, the aggressive approach, that's interesting. Not something that, I mean, in terms of the number side of it, but I guess, makes a little bit of sense where he's probably getting better pitches early on and putting him in play as opposed to getting himself in deeper counts and finding himself 0-2, 1-2, chasing those pitches. And that's what I've noticed. He's not chasing. He's not chasing near as much as what he was out of the zone, and that comes from getting better pitches earlier in the count to hit.
I just am amazed with guys who are able to do something like that at the big league level so quickly. Mm-hmm. And playing every day, playing shortstop, such a demanding position, to then be able to adjust to the way the league is adjusting to you. He's actually swinging at, you know, drastically less, 3% less pitches outside of the strike zone right now. He's making a little bit more contact inside the strike zone. He's just, you know, while he's swinging at about the same number of pitches, he's just more aggressive in the zone and laying off stuff outside, which, again, seems so simple, but at the big league level, that can be really hard to do on the fly, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that just shows these guys, they work so hard. I mean, after games, they're watching video. During games, they're in there watching video, constantly working on their mindset, on their approach, talking to other hitters. You know, Matt Carpenter and Paul Goldschmidt are great about this, sitting there and just talking hitting with guys, what they're doing, what they're seeing right now. And you can take all that and kind of put it into approach and say, okay, I'm striking out more. How can I adjust on this? And like I said, do it at that level. And so it's not easy because the major league pitcher, what you're trying to do is throw pitches that look like strikes but aren't in the strike zone. So you're trying to get them to chase those constantly, and he's been able to eliminate those pitches, lay off of those, and then wait for that fastball or that breaking ball in the zone that he's able to drive. So it's hard, but it just shows you how hard these guys work. And it's not just all the physical. It's not all their swing. It's not, you know, balance and all that. They're doing that. Don't get me wrong. But a lot of it is the mental side, the mental approach to how they're going to go out there and attack a certain hitter or, you know, go out there for that at bat.
Kyle McClellan is with us on the Strike Zone powered by Graybar. All right, pitching-wise, maybe not what we expected to this point in terms of results from the rotation, but are they starting to show signs that they're coming around, Kyle, especially that performance by Adam Wainwright yesterday, his 150th win as a Cardinal? Wow.
Yeah, Adam's had three really good starts. You know, he's had one, maybe two that weren't, two. His first one, I believe, wasn't very good. But, you know, two starts maybe that haven't gone like we expected, but the other three have been great. I mean, he's been really good. He's been effective. He's been efficient. He's gone deep into the game. You know, I feel like the other guys are starting to pick it up. Miles Michaelis is now going deeper in the game, and Jack Flaherty's had a couple nice starts. So I feel like they're coming. They're starting to pick it up, but it is surprising. You know, I thought this was definitely going to be a strength of this team. I still do think that. I still think this starting rotation is going to be fantastic once they kind of get going. But that's the great thing about, you know, having a solid team is while the pitching's, you know, struggling a little bit on the starting side, your offense is picking up. Your defense has played really well. Your base running, all the small things that I think we all got so frustrated about last year, they're doing that really well. And that's making them a really good team and allows the starting pitching to kind of, you know, get a little bit of slack right now. And you know there's going to be stretches where the starting pitching is going to have to go a couple times through the rotation and pick up the offense. So it's nice to have those options and have a well-rounded team like they do.
How can you put into perspective what 150 wins means for Adam and to do it with the Cardinals?
You know, I was watching that yesterday, and it's like, okay, 150 wins. And then it's like, golly, how do people have 300 wins? I mean, that's crazy when you think about how long he's been in the game, and he only has 150 wins. And I say that, in, you know, with the most respect that I can to the guys that have 300. It's crazy. But in today's game, I mean, you just don't see guys get to 100 very often. So, one, it's a testament to longevity and being good for a long period of time. And Adam's done that, man. He's just been a winner ever since he's got up to the big leagues, whether it's in the bullpen or in the rotation, and it's a huge accomplishment. Really proud of him, and you know, to see his interview and talk about Yadi and the fans and everybody else that he got to experience it with. It's no surprise coming from Adam. You know, just did it in a classy way.
It's just so fun watching him kind of continue to, I don't want to say reinvent himself, but continue to make adjustments and, mm-hmm. you know, maybe throw his curveball 40% of the time now. Maybe not rely on the fastball as much as the location of that cutter. And I imagine at some point 150 wins and, you know, multiple finishes in the top three of the Cy Young and World Series and All-Star and accolades, I think it says a lot about the person to be willing to make that adjustment and change your role to help the team. Coming out of the bullpen at times, like, not every superstar would potentially do that for their team.
No, and it's hard. I mean, it's hard. One, he's been able to identify that, you know, he can't get out the same way that he has. And that's hard when you've done it for a long time. You look at a lot of power pitchers, that throw 100 miles an hour. They're not going to throw 100 miles an hour forever. And at some point, they have to adjust. And some of them can't. Some of them aren't in the league very long after that. And, you know, after they start to lose that velocity, because they have to learn how to pitch and do things differently. And Adam has adapted well and figured out, you know, what he has to do to compete. And I think Chris Carpenter's probably played a big role in that, because he's had to go through that and obviously mentored him and kind of given him some pointers along the way in how you have to do it. But it's hard when you're a competitor. You're used to being the best that there is out there, and all of a sudden it just doesn't come out the same. You're not getting the same results, and you're sitting there on the mound trying to say, hey, it's worked for a long time. I don't need to change anything. And he's been willing to change things, make those adjustments, and you know, he's done a nice job. He's still out there pitching and doing a heck of a job.
Kyle McClellan is with us for a couple more minutes on the Strike Zone, powered by Graybar. I'm eager to see, Kyle, what kind of weapons both Carlos Martinez and Alex Reyes could be. And obviously they're at different points right now as Carlos continues to work to try to come back and will be worked right now as a reliever. And Reyes is spending some time, at least in the rotation in Memphis, under controlled situations, but so he can get his side work in. But both of those guys, just tantalizing possibilities if they return to the Cardinals at some point.
Yeah, and I don't know what they're going to do with them. You know, you're going to put them, you know, Carlos Martinez is going to be in the bullpen. You know, is Hicks going to come out of the closer's role? Is Carlos going to be an eighth inning guy? And then you got Reyes, who I think from this year's standpoint, I don't think it makes a lot of sense to make him a starter, because he's only going to be able to go half the season. You know, before you're going to have to kind of pull the reins back on him. You got to be so careful with his injury. I think the bullpen's a good way to limit his innings, which was kind of the plan coming in. So, you know, these things always have a way of working themselves out. There could be an injury that guys can kind of trade off. But you look at how strong that bullpen is now, and then you talk about adding those two guys, you know, it's going to be hard to find places for guys. But, man, if they can plug them in there in the back end of that, those are just two absolute weapons. That's going to make that bullpen even better somehow.
Well, what did you see from Alex at the beginning of the year? I imagine that, you know, he spoke so much about last year pitching through some stuff because he wanted to get to and stay in the big leagues, and then, you know, had the spring that was ahead of schedule and great in terms of getting on the field. But I imagine he was trying to do whatever he could to stay up here, and at some point it just wasn't working.
Well, based on what we saw in spring, and Chris, you were there and saw a lot of it, you know, he deserved to be on the team. I mean, he was it wasn't any – there was no – they're not forcing him or rushing him. I mean, what we saw was – electric, and it's like, okay, he's ready to go and he can contribute, and he was able to throw strikes, a couple up and down outings, maybe two, maybe three I can think of, but the rest of them were like lights out. I mean, I'm talking absolutely lights out. So he gets up here, and I think the biggest difference, and I just in my experience of going through injuries, I went through 2 years of rehab for my elbow, and when you came back, you forgot about just the pace of the game and the things that go on and how you have to, you know, the running game, controlling the running game. That's something you don't do during rehab. And all of a sudden you're thinking, oh, shoot, I forgot this is a running count. I need to hold the ball a little bit longer or be quicker to the plate. You know, things like that. And the momentum and how you can control the momentum in a game when you're out there and you can feel it getting out of hand. How do you react to that? Those are things when you're out there every day that you don't even think about. It just, you naturally do it. When you haven't been there and you've been in this rehab process where there's been no competitiveness for the last 2 years for him, it takes you a while to get back into that. And so I think he has to learn how to pitch again, how to be out there in game situations and all the things that go with it. And that sounds a little bit silly, but it really does happen where you sit out there and you're like, you know, backing up bases. I mean, some of these basics you have to get back to doing. And I just think he just wasn't ready for games. So I think it's a good decision for him to be down there in a controlled environment where he can throw bullpens and kind of get everything underneath him, get the flow of it. And when he comes back, I expect him to be a huge contributor.
Yeah, and the walk numbers that crept up were when he was in the bullpen here and when he was coming out of the bullpen in Memphis. I wonder just how much at the big league level, if you're trying to get acclimated to all that and then you're coming in
right
with guys on base in the middle mm-hmm. of an inning, how much of a factor that was for him, too, and how much of a factor that even was in the minors. Because even the first time he started the game, granted he only threw 40 pitches, but from a, you know, control standpoint, appeared to be much better and much more under control.
Well, it's trust, too. I mean, you're coming out there, you got all these other things you're thinking about, and if you're not trusting your stuff, you're kind of – when you go, I remember my first live batting practice after Tommy John, and my owner nerve. I remember I got a ground ball and I was like, I can still get ground balls. Like, you have to, and I mean, seriously, that was the thought. Like, okay, they still hit it on the ground. My sinker still does sink. So you're having to figure out, what does all my stuff do? Is it the same as before? Or if not, do I need to make adjustments? And so it takes you some time to learn that. And so when you're out there at the big league level, man, you certainly aren't just one to just go out there and just throw it and see what happens. You're trying to be so careful, and then you run yourself into bad counts, and then you start to walk guys. And so when you get that trust and that confidence, those things all start to, you know, go away and take care of themselves. But it's just, it's repetitions. It's him getting experience in innings. And again, this guy's going to be, he's going to be a huge part of this team, and the team can't wait to get him back. But, you know, take your time, make sure he's healthy, make sure he's right before he comes back up.
You look around the division in the National League right now, and I know we've only played a month of baseball, but everyone's kind of right there, outside of the Marlins maybe. Only five teams in the entire league are under 500. Cincinnati Reds, who actually made some aggressive moves in the offseason, they're the only team in the division under 500. I think it's going to, again, still early, but be a pretty entertaining next few months.
Yeah, I think so. And certainly Milwaukee, St. Louis, and Chicago are definitely the best in this division. I was interested to see how Cincinnati did with, you know, they had a, remember last year when the Cardinals played them and just absolutely, they looked like a double A team.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the season, boy, they look good. I mean, they're
a good lineup, yeah.
Their young players got some experience and they did a really nice job. Then they added some pieces. So I was interested to see how Cincinnati would look this year. Chicago's obviously always going to be good. Pittsburgh always surprised you. I think when you think that they're going to have, you know, oh, they're going to be terrible this year, they actually play better than they did the year before, and, you know, with less pieces for a while, and make it interesting. But the Cardinals are, you know, they're in a good position right now. They're playing good baseball right now, and I think they're going to be at the top of that division with Cincinnati and Milwaukee pretty much the whole way out.
Kyle, we appreciate it, man. We will talk to you tomorrow night for Cardinals and Reds pregame.
All right, let's go Blues.
Let's go Blues, indeed. Lots of Blues talk, all Blues, all the time, coming your way beginning at 7. But we will wrap up with Craig Edwards of Fangraphs. You heard me talk to Kyle about his Paul DeJong piece. We'll get into that and more with Craig next. That's What's on Deck, sponsored by Chesterfield Fence and Deck Design. You have the very best. We're back with one more segment of baseball talk before Blues and Stars, right here on your home for the Cardinals and Blues, KMOX.
Now, back to the Strike Zone. Powered by Graybar, your source for electrical and data communications products for 150 years on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Final segment of the Strike Zone, powered by Graybar. Blues pregame coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll have extended pregame. The Munganass St. Louis Honda and Mitsubishi Sports Open Line starts in just a couple of minutes over at Enterprise Center. I'm going to be joined by Cam Jansen, Alex, Amy Curbs, Joey, a cast of thousands, bringing you Blues hockey tonight. But a little more baseball talk right now as we welcome in Craig Edwards from Fangraphs.com and also the former editor of Viva Albertos. Read Craig at Fangraphs.com and follow him on Twitter at Craig J. Edwards. Craig, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing pretty well.
We're coming off another Cardinals sweep. They have now this season swept the Dodgers and the Brewers. I want to start with the Cardinals, then we'll kind of take a wide lens of Major League Baseball. But in terms of not just where the Cardinals are in the division and in the National League, but how they got there, is this what you kind of expected to this point? What surprised you, and what have you been pleased with as this Cardinals team is concerned so far?
You know, I think the first thing is you just have to be happy with their record. I mean, 15-9, they're out in front in the National League, and it's a very crowded field. And so they've had some ups and downs, and the starting pitching maybe isn't what they'd like, but the offense is doing really well, and they've gotten enough from the bullpen to close out a lot of games, especially against some really good teams like the Brewers and the Dodgers. And I think that they've gotten some fairly surprising performances from a few guys, and that's really helped carry them so far.
In terms of the starting pitching, I know that that was expected by a lot of people to be a strength coming into this year. They've started to cobble together some better starts now, but one thing a lot of people point to is the lack of innings or the lack of guys going deep. Is that something that we see around baseball? Is that something we maybe see early in the year with extra off days? Is that just where the industry's headed?
you know, you're seeing starters go fewer and fewer innings over the past few years, and that's something that's true for the Cardinals as well. I think the problem is that are the guys being pulled because they're doing well and you trust the bullpen that's going really well, or are guys getting pulled because maybe there's some things that you need to be worried about going forward? And the Cardinals have a mix of those two. It's kind of crazy to think that you know, Adam Wainwright's been their best pitcher so far. You know, it's a little nuts.
Yeah, I wonder what's reasonable to expect from Wainwright moving forward, because, you know, even yesterday, some traffic on the base paths, and I think he only threw first pitch strikes to 9 of the 21 guys that he faced. But I think especially something we talked about in the offseason is that with an improved defense, if you can limit walks in Busch Stadium, maybe pitching to contact isn't always such a terrible thing.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, we've seen since he first came up, you know, he maybe threw his curveball, you know, 20%, 30% of the time, and the league has sort of seen that those averages go up and up and up, and now Adam Wainwright's in a position where he can maybe throw his curveball 40% of the time, and that's not unusual, and that's his best pitch, and as long as he's locating it well, he can get through a game just with you know, I don't want to, you know, but it's a mediocre fastball at this point. I'll say that. But with the curveball, he can still get a lot of guys out. And like you said, if he can get the ball in play, preferably on the ground, you know, the good things are going to happen for him.
Craig Edwards is with us from Fangraphs. Read Craig at Fangraphs.com. Also follow him on Twitter at Craig J. Edwards. You mentioned the bullpen, and you've written about Jordan Hicks and his velocity right now. He is, what, like the 10 fastest pitches in Major League Baseball this year. I'm just amazed to look around baseball now, and I guess I shouldn't be amazed anymore, the velocity that every team has at the back end of the bullpen. But for Hicks, it seems like with the velocity, maybe he's just figuring out how to use it, and maybe he's just figuring out how to best use it.
Yeah, I think it's hard to appreciate just how hard he's throwing. You know, we think of 97 as fast. Well, he's the difference between a 97 and a 90 mile per hour fastball. And if he can throw 104 and locate it, you know, that's going to get him ahead in the count. And then he can use that slider. He's learning to sort of get ahead in the count so he can finish batters off, because batters don't really chase the slider when they're behind in the count, especially late in innings. They're going to wait for you to show that you can throw a strike. And Hicks is starting to capitalize on his abilities by getting ahead in the count and then finishing those guys off with a curveball. And, you know, maybe even a changeup that we've seen a few times. That's still a work in progress, but it's something to be encouraged about. I think that the strikeouts are here when they weren't there last year, just because it was a developmental year for him, because he skipped, you know, three levels to get up to the major leagues.
You know, not only do we see more velocity, but more versatile velocity. And I talked to John Brebbia about this the other day. Like, he said, you know, as he's been coming up through the organization and through pro baseball, you need guys in every bullpen. And if you want to be a guy sticking around and get to the big leagues, you need to be able to do multiple things. Gone, really, for the most part, are the days of that one-out specialty guy.
Yeah, and, you know, you think about a guy like Brebbia, guys like Gant. They're going to come in. They're gonna pitch to batters from both sides. And ideally, a guy like Andrew Miller has been throughout his career as a guy who can come in and get both lefties and righties out. You want to maximize every single spot on that 25-man roster. And in the bullpen, that means using guys who can get more than one out. And, you know, on the bench, it means, you know, using guys who can play more than one position. And the Cardinals have done a pretty good job of building their roster that way.
You can read Craig Edwards at Fangraphs.com. You wrote about Paul DeJong and just what kind of numbers he's putting up right now, where he is in terms of wins above replacement in baseball right now. It's pretty remarkable. I know it's a small sample size, but before folks go to Fangraphs.com and read your piece on DeJong, just share with us a little bit about what you've observed and what the numbers say about Paul so far.
Yeah, you know, right now we're a month into the season and there's a long way to go, but you know, it's Cody Bellinger, it's Christian Yelich, it's Mike Trout, and right next to them is Paul DeJong in terms of wins above replacement at Fangraphs. And what he's been able to do is sort of maximize the power that he already has and use an aggressive approach to lower his strikeouts. So you normally might think that being aggressive, swinging more, isn't the way to lower your strikeouts. But he's done it by taking advantage of sort of hitters' counts. You know, when you're 1-0, when you're 2-0, when you're 2-1, those are pitches that pitchers want to throw for strikes. And Young's swinging at those pitches because they're in the strike zone, and he's doing really well with them. And so he's not getting to those two strike counts where he might be more susceptible to chasing and getting strikeouts. And it's a really remarkable turnaround from what we've seen in the past.
And I think there were some questions or some eyebrows raised, at least from fans, at the beginning of the year about DeJong hitting third and Goldschmidt hitting second. Because Goldschmidt seems like a typical back of the baseball card number three or number four hitter, right? But it makes sense for me to have your best hitters and the guys who get on base the most getting the most plate appearances in Carpenter and Goldschmidt. And then DeJong has really seemed to start to thrive in between Goldschmidt and now one of the hottest hitters in baseball, Marcell Ozuna, behind him.
Yeah, and Goldschmidt and Carpenter ahead of DeJong are two guys that get on base a ton. And you put DeJong in the three spot, and he's a guy who doesn't really walk a lot. You know, that's just not part of his game. He walks maybe 6 or 7% of the time. So he's in a position where once those guys get on, he's hunting for that pitch to hit. And, hopefully he's driving those guys in after they're on base. And that's what's happened so far this season. And you're right, with Ozuna behind him and hitting well, I mean, that 1-4 is as good as anybody's.
Yeah, the Cardinals have right now DeJong 9th, Ozuna 10th in OPS in the National League, Goldschmidt 17th, Colton Wong 20th, so quite a presence in the top 20. We see the Brewers come and go, Craig, and again early in the season, but we've seen a lot of Milwaukee to this point. To me, their pitching stands out, whether it's some of the recent struggles of Hader and some of the injuries they've dealt with in the bullpen, or what they might eventually need to add to the starting rotation. How far do you think the Brewers' pitching can take them, and do you think that's something that will have a maybe need to be addressed at some point by them?
You know, I think that when you start the season with three really young guys in the rotation, and that's what they did, that with three talented guys, but now we see, you know, Peralta and on the injured list, and I think that Woodruff is probably going to be here the rest of the year, but You're going to need reinforcements, and every team needs pitching depth, and the Brewers apparently just got some with Gio Gonzalez, and I would imagine that'll help. Last year, they were able to navigate the season without a great starting rotation because the bullpen was so great. This season, I think Hader's still going to be really good, but they don't have as many, 6th, 7th, and 8th guys as they had a year ago. And so it's going to be a little bit more trouble for them than it was last year. But they're a very competitive team. They should still be very good. But they're probably going to need another guy at some point during the season if they want to stay in the race.
You know, I think the thing that has stood out to me about the division, but also the National League to this point, is that everyone's just pretty solid. No one's really pulled away. And again, not that anyone would in the first month, but you know, you only have five teams that are under 500 right now, and that includes the Nationals and the Rockies, a couple of teams that I think people expected to be pretty good.
Yeah, I think that you've got the Marlins, and then
Marlins, Reds, Marlins.
Yeah. And then everybody else is in it. I mean, even the Reds, they've struggled to start the season, but they're not a bad team.
And made some moves to try to get better.
There's not an easy out.
Right. Yep.
When you're trying to navigate the National League, and I think that the Pirates got off to a pretty good start, that's why it's so important for the Cardinals to start off well, like they have against a fairly difficult schedule, because those wins that they're banking right now, they're going to need. Maybe they're struggling a little bit later on in the season.
All right, outside of the Cardinals or the National League Central, who is your favorite team in each league to watch if you're flipping around and catching up on games in the evening?
Oh, that's a good question. I think that it's nice to see the Padres doing well. You know, Manny Machado's an exciting player. They just called up Tatis. They've got some pitchers like Paddock. And they're a team where if you're a big fan of baseball and you pay attention to it fairly well, they've got a lot of guys that you haven't necessarily seen before. So that's fun for me as a fan to try and get to know players that, that maybe I'm not as familiar with. I think in the American League, you know, you could say the same thing about the Rays. The Rays are an exciting young team. They still have, you know, old friend Tommy Pham doing pretty well for them. And they've got a lot of exciting young players and good pitching, and they're off to a great start. And it's always fun to see sort of the little guy battling up against the Yankees and the Red Sox and making it making things interesting, and that's what the Rays are doing right now.
Yeah, especially after Tommy Pham had an all-time quote in the offseason on MLB radio or whatever, asked what they could do to help attendance in Tampa, and he said, I don't know, move the team.
Yeah, that's not the greatest PR move on his part.
And tomorrow is Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Day.
Yeah, that's incredibly exciting for baseball. You know, he nearly hit 400 in the minors last season, and he obviously had a small injury in spring training that kept him down for the first few weeks of this season. But you know, he's honestly he might be one of the 10 best hitters in the American League today, even though he hasn't even played a game.
Craig Edwards, read him at Fangraphs.com. Follow him on Twitter at Craig J. Edwards. All the best to you and the family. I know you guys are going to be down in St. Louis at Busch Stadium this weekend, so look forward to catching up, man. Thanks so much for the time.
All right, thank you.
How about those Paul DeJong numbers? I touched on them a little bit with Kyle, but to hear Craig go in depth about DeJong, about what he's doing, about what he's doing so well, and how he's doing it, I think really eye-opening. And you think about the Cardinals infield now. With Paul Goldschmidt now locked up at first base, Colton Wong locked up at second base, DeJong locked up at shortstop, Carpenter now with two more years, and then the vesting option. It's pretty incredible to think that all of these guys are going to be in place moving forward. This is your infield of the next 3-4 years. Building the Future is brought to you by Graybar, your source for electrical and data communications products for 150 years. Just really excited about the way this lineup is going to continue to progress. And think about that. The number of guys they have with OPSs in the top 20 in baseball and OPSs that are right around 1,000, I think, staggering and not something they've had consistently in that lineup. And one guy, just like Jordan Binnington, one guy changed the entire complexion of the Blues season, albeit a goaltender can do it in a lot different way than, you know, a Major League Baseball player can. Paul Goldschmidt, I think, has changed the entire complexion of the Cardinals lineup. And Marcell Ozuna, who right now most closely resembles the MVP-caliber Marcell Ozuna of 2017, has done it as well. Remarkable what those couple of guys can do smack dab in the middle of your lineup. All right, a big thanks to Craig, a big thanks to Kyle McClellan as well. Ben Boyd, our executive producer, and Mike Anderson here in our KMOX studios. Don't go anywhere. We've got extended Blues pregame coming up. The Munganess, St. Louis Honda, and Mitsubishi Sports Open line starts after this. And then Blues pregame skate at 8 o'clock. And game one between the Blues and the Stars is at 8:30 right here on KMOX. This has been our first edition of The Strike Zone, powered by Graybar. I'm Chris Raby on your home for the Cardinals and Blues, KMOX.